Well, let's bring in Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton. Hi, Julian.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, so we have a president blasting allies in public, demanding they increase spending to 4%, then claiming victory even though they didn't. Blasting America's special friend, the leader of Britain, Theresa May, is said to be softening the exit from the EU. Trump wants a harder break. He says she didn't listen to him. Sounds a little mansplaining there, but then says he didn't say that, knowing it's recorded. We heard it. Is there an historical comparison?
This is one of those cases where it's hard to think of anything like this. There's obviously been tensions between the U.S. and NATO partners. We can even remember with President George W. Bush, the tension with many of our allies over Iraq. But nothing like this, nothing like the open hostility the president has had toward allies. This interview where he cuts against the British leader on her own grounds, and then this back and forth over what he said. This is really a remarkable moment where you see the strain on this historic alliance from the post-World War II period.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Remind us what the post-World War II new order was. And do you think that Trump has dismantled it?
Well, it comes out of devastated Europe in World War II after tens of millions of people have died and many European countries are struggling to rebuild themselves. And at the same time, the Soviet Union is strengthening and expanding itself and trying to gain more territorial control. And NATO is an alliance of allies meant to enter into a pact and work together to protect each other. And it was a really important moment in 1949 where this alliance was formed. And it's unclear if Trump will be able to break it because there's many interests all the allies have in maintaining this beyond the current U.S. president. But that said, these kinds of moments like we're having in the last few weeks really strain the relationship. It is a relationship. It's not just about paying dues. And so this has an effect.
Well, and, you know, I've been hearing from some listeners saying, well, wait a second. You know, we've had bellicose leaders before. And we were hearing this week from FDR, a new book's out, and that Madison Square Garden speech in 1938 when he's talking about Wall Street. And he says, they hate me and I welcome their hatred. You know, but it feels like it's different to rail against fat cats than it is to rail against, you know, pitiful immigrants, for instance, detained crossing the border.
Well, yes. I mean, all of this is true. And so we have had presidents rail against many adversaries. I think the difference that some feel with this president is it's unscripted, uncontrolled, unpredictable in a way that those other presidents were not. They still were working with a set of advisors and working with Congress less in an ad hoc manner than we see with the current president. And then you have a whole set of policies like the separation of children from their families, which is a whole other set of issues. But it all comes down to his style of leadership and what I think many see as a reckless approach to governing, which makes the bellicosity different than what we've seen from other presidents.
Will it not matter to historians? Will none of this matter, the dissembling, the, you know, not telling the truth, the tone? Will it not matter if, in fact, you know, America continues with a great economy and there are no wars on his watch? I mean, what will make it matter to historians?
Well, it will matter. I do think that's a good warning. We have to see what the outcome of the presidency is to see how people evaluate the different components. But the part you're talking about, playing with the truth and saying things that are not true constantly on an ongoing basis and basically devaluing the notion of objectivity and facts in American politics, I do think that is what historians will write about as a important part of what this president did and the way he shaped our public culture.
Julian, we only have a minute left here, but I'm, you know, staying with Europe, I wonder what you are hearing in the president's language about immigration in that interview with The Sun that he did. He talked about Europe losing its culture because of immigration. Now, European countries have been more homogenous than the U.S., which is a nation of immigrants. But are you hearing a whiff of something historical?
It's the same kind of nativist rhetoric that he often uses here in the United States. United States. It's about what he says is a culture in peril, and it's about a threat that he is arguing immigrants make to some kind of authentic culture. And this is an old language in American politics and one that's usually tied to restrictionism and anti-immigrant policies.
I just wonder if it has a stronger whiff given the continent. You know, those are the same things said about Jews.
Well, there's a long history of this rhetoric, and it's been used in very ugly ways. And that's why he needs to be incredibly cautious in what he evokes.
Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton, co-author of the new book, Fault Lines, A History of the United States Since 1974. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.